But you have them, God, and you're not your own, for you're what? Bought with a price. Amen? I'll switch over here, Brother Will. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 15. It's been a long time since I preached from this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15. I think maybe it's been 2 weeks, I believe. You don't remember that, so tonight's message will be very similar in theme to the message I preached 2 weeks ago from this text, and also in the same vein of the message that I preached on opportunities last Sunday night. But I want to squeeze some more juice out of this verse for us tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 15, let's stand together and read it once more. Powerful thought. Powerful thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15. Read aloud with me, please. Ready? And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. We talked about the principle of inverse love and the fact that the more you love and the deeper you love, the less you will be loved in return with the same depth of love with which you love others. We talked about the fact that we need our God to fill us with His love because He deserves to be loved. And who loves God the way He loves others? Maybe you felt in your life before, man, I'm the one doing all the giving. I love, 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 and I just don't get it back. I wonder how God feels. Who loves God the way He loves us? And the emphasis of the message from 2 weeks ago was we need to be filled with God's love so we can love others the way God loves us. Amen. Last Sunday night, we talked about opportunities. We talked about, really, it was a kind of a second-mile Christian kind of a message, and we talked about many different things in the Bible. People went the extra mile. You know, who would expect Ezekiel, for example, to get up the next morning and preach without a tear when his wife had died the night before the stroke? I'm sure he wanted to crawl in the hole and cry his eyes out and not talk to anybody for a week or more, but he got up and he did his duty. It was an opportunity to validate the message that he had and say, people of God, this is an important message, and though my heart is breaking, I need to hear it. This message tonight, I want to challenge you to do something. And when I first heard this verse many years ago, I was a college student. Somebody preached this verse probably. I think that's probably where it came to my attention. You know, you read a verse many times and then one day it gets your attention, right? And I remember somebody, I think, was preaching this verse. And I was a bus captain at the time, working a bus route. Don't you love the bus ministry? I love the bus ministry. And I read that verse and I wrote in my Bible my bus number next to it. And I think it was 89-9. Later on, I took a different bus route and led several routes. And I wrote in another Bible I was using at that time, 76-6. And so that when I would read that verse, I would think about the people that I serve. Maybe tonight when you go home, you can write next to that, second grade boys, or bus number 5, or my nursery post. Tonight I want to speak to you on this subject, a good motto for ministry. A good motto for ministry. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Father in heaven, through the power of Thy Holy Spirit, take this aspect of this verse, this truth from this verse, to give us a servant's heart, the spirit of a servant, the spirit of a man like the Apostle Paul, who gave and gave and gave, never expecting to return in this life, to have the return in this life, the full return of his investment, but looking on to eternity. knowing that his life would be spent in giving with little return. And yet he was glad to do it. Give us this spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2 talks about a man by the name of Epaphroditus. And it said of him, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. Now listen to this phrase. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Now listen to the phrase next. To supply your lack of service toward me. Paul commends the Philippian church, and they were a giving church, and he said, because of your giving, my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Like most of the churches to which he wrote, he had commendations for them, but he had sometimes some outright correction, even rebukes, and sometimes he had some things like this where he points out something. And he says here in this verse, a man by the name of Epaphroditus was nigh unto death for the work of Christ. He nearly died, nearly gave himself for the work of Christ, not regarding his life. I'm sure somebody said, now you need to take care of yourself. Epaphroditus said, no, there's something bigger than that. To supply, listen to this statement, your lack of service. What was he doing? He was pulling somebody else's weight. You understand that? To supply your lack of service. Matthew 20 and verses 26 and 27, Jesus made it clear that the servant is the greatest of all, and whosoever will be chief, let him be your servant. I think about, and I've told you this many times before, but I stand in awe, quite frankly, of Mrs. Rhonda Brown, Dr. Larry Brown, tremendous man of God, a widower, and Mrs. Rhonda Brown now, a widow, and God brought them together in due time, and they are recharged, and they are serving, and delightful servants of God. But Mrs. Brown, when her first husband and her were serving the Lord together, for 25 years, now think about this, for 25 years, she drove 50 miles one way, 5 days a week, to teach in a Christian school without pay. 25 years she volunteered and drove 50 miles one way, 5 days a week, to volunteer to teach in a Christian school. You know what you call that? You call that a willing servant. Now, we would put that under the category of last Sunday night's message. Amen? No one would dare expect that of someone. But what an opportunity she fulfilled. A servant, number one, is willing. A servant, number one, is willing. I was talking to some of our Spanish soul winners last Tuesday morning, and little Gian Vasquez, it's first two letters J-I and last two letters A-N. His mother's name is Gibson. She was Gibson Prieto, now Gibson Vasquez. And Brian, dad is B-R I-A-N, of course. But anyway, it took those the first two letters of her first name, the last two letters of his first name, put them together, and they got Gian. Amen? And Gian's not yet a year old. And he came right to me. He came right to me. And he just hung on to me. And he just, I could tell he really thought I was something special. And but for 15 minutes while we were fellowshipping, he just lay right there, and once in a while he'd look up at me and he'd put his head back down. I think he was just tired and too tired to know where he was or what he was doing. But anyway, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed our children being small. I enjoy, Mama gets lots of videos and pictures, you know, on a regular basis of our grandson. And I have some after the service, and I'll be glad to share them with you if you have until midnight or so. But anyway, I love the little ones, and, I'm excited about next Sunday. And the truth is this. Now, I'm not planning to do this. Don't fret over this, parents. But I could be a nursery worker. I would be like one of them grandpa rockers. Amen. Now, the diaper changing station, I probably would delegate that to someone else. But anyway, I enjoy. How many of you like babies? I like babies. I like babies. And I enjoyed that. And I thought, you know, I would like to do this. I like to help take care of the little ones. I have scores and scores, I guess hundreds of notes. I can't keep them all. I started keeping a lot of them digitally from children in our church. I love them, and I'll stick them on my door, of course, sometimes. And I love to receive notes from the kids in the church. I love Vacation Bible School. I love acting the fool with the kids at Vacation Bible School. I enjoy the children. I would love to be a worker in that primary department, those 4 or 5 year olds, first and second graders. Some of you are saying, well, come on over, Pastor. We'd be glad to have you. All right, you take the pulpit from me and I'll come take yours. Maybe I shouldn't offer that. I would love to do that and would enjoy it. I love the camps. I love the trips with the teens. I love the times I get to be around the teenagers and some of those weeks in the summer, especially in different things. A missions trip that we took, I enjoyed so thoroughly the time of the teenagers. And I love chances to be around the young adults. I like to be down there when they're playing volleyball, for example. I love to be around all these folks. Yesterday I spent a good portion of my day visiting members of our Spanish congregation. Just enjoyed so much. I love them so very much, and I enjoyed them and enjoyed fellowshipping with them and just had some really sweet visits with some of our Spanish members. And yes, I'd like to go work in a Spanish department. Amen. I really would. I'd love to go brush up on my Espanol. Amen. I got the important words down, taco, burrito, enchilada, and so forth like that. But anyway, I do. I would love to work in the Spanish department. I would love to work in the teen department. I know that you can't necessarily do everything that you'd like to do. But a servant is willing. Paul said this about he said to their power, about God's people, to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Beyond their power, beyond their ability, beyond their wherewithal, beyond their means, they were willing. When I say willing servant, let me clarify. A willing servant doesn't get to do everything that he or she wants to do. But he wants to. You understand that? A willing servant doesn't get to do all the things that they would like to do, but they have a desire to. There is a willingness there. Time might constrain and other constraints might be brought to bear, but they, though not always able to, they are willing to. And a good motto for ministry is to say, as a servant, I am willing. I am willing to serve. I don't have to have a position. I don't have to be in front. I am willing to. I know. Listen, don't critique the people that get up on this platform. Oh, they want the limelight. Most of the time, they don't. Most of the time they say, I don't really want to be up there. Now, Brother Hamilton, he loves the limelight, you know him, but the exception to him. But don't critique the folks who get up here and sing or participate in some way. Many of them step out of their comfort zone to be involved, to teach the classes, to preach and so forth, and to lead some aspect of ministry. I'm saying a servant has a willing heart. A servant has a want to inside. Now, the opposite of that is an unwillingness. An unwillingness. This is not a problem in this church, but over the years, occasionally somebody will say, "Now, don't volunteer. Don't volunteer. Don't raise your hand. You volunteer, then you're going to be stuck for the rest of your life. You do it one time, they're going to ask you to do it every week. Whatever you do, don't volunteer to clean that bus, or you'll be doing it every week. Whatever you do, don't go back there and say, "Well, you can use me in the nursery on occasion." Don't do it. They'll use you every week. They'll wear you out. May I say, if that's your mindset tonight, I hope it's not, and it probably isn't, but just in case you ever get tempted to that end, you know, a lot of people don't think it's unfair to get to serve every week. A lot of folks consider it a blessing. Amen. Some see it as an opportunity and a privilege rather than some injustice. And if you say, "Well, I'm concerned because people get overworked," if indeed you've seen a person overworked, have you considered what you might do to relieve that? Amen, Pastor. If the answer to this perceived problem that folks get overworked is, "Quick, warn everybody not to volunteer lest they get sucked down the black hole," my question to you is, how will that relieve the overwork you pretend to care about? Did you ever consider that that spirit of unwillingness is the very reason perhaps some folks are overworked? You can say amen, amen anytime you want to. "Well, someone ought to help her out. Someone ought to help him out. Why don't they get some more people involved?" Hey, are you volunteering? I understand that nobody can do everything. I understand that. Sometimes folks try to do everything. But a servant is like the Apostle Paul said, I realize I give of myself. I spend myself. He's talking about spending his life, spending his time, spending his resources. Epaphroditus spent his health to the point of death. But he didn't begrudgingly do so. He was willing to do so. The truth is, he would have done more if he could have done more. And he had to stop. He had given of himself. But I'm not saying that you can do everything that you want to do. But a servant's heart is one that says, "I want to. I want to. I'd love to work the nursery. I'd love to sing in the choir. I'd love to be a bus worker. I would love to. I can't do all these things, but I sure do want to." That spirit right there, that spirit of willingness, that's the spirit of a servant. That's the spirit of an Apostle Paul. Number two, servant is available. Do you remember these thousands of people, Jesus has been teaching them, and they're hungry, and Jesus said, I can't send them home empty. What are we going to do? And the disciples over there trying to figure out this problem, you know. It's 4,000 on one occasion, 5,000 on another, plus the women folk and the children. Many thousands. And one of those disciples said, "Well, there's a lad here. He's got a little lunch. You know, we got probably 15, maybe upwards of 20,000 people, but we got a little lad, and he's got a lunch. Can you see the little lad? Y'all need my lunch?" Isn't God good at taking little things and making a big deal out of it? You know what, my friend? God just needs some folks available. Elimelech was sent to find a bride for Isaac, a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit and drawing us to the Son of God and how the church is the bride of Christ. What a beautiful picture there. But when asked to give explanation of how it happened, he just said, I being in the way the Lord led me. I don't know, I was just there. And he led me. I was in my place and doing what I was supposed to be doing. And God just led me. And may I say, dear friend, if you will say, God, I'm available to you today. You lead me today. I'm willing. I want to. I won't be able to do everything I'd like to do, but I'm willing to and I want to. And I'm available. If you need me, tap me on the shoulder. Amen. Why, he might just send a family right across your path in the middle of Walmart. And you could reach up and say, come to my church. Amen. And they just might come. Amen. You say, well, I'm not old enough. Well, 4 works out pretty good. Amen. Or 5. 5 works out pretty good. Amen. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I will. It's why, Pastor, I really will have a desire to do something for God. I'm not sure I'm called. I've heard it said more than once, why are we waiting for a call when we have a command? Amen. A command. Amen. Listen, I'd rather be a soul winning pipe fitter than I would be an unfruitful pastor. I'd rather be a soul winning a school bus driver than I would be an unfruitful a youth pastor, associate pastor, missionary on the field. Saying, Lord, here I am, I'm available. That doesn't mean I'm sitting around waiting for a position. It just means, Lord, you can talk to me, and I promise you this, if you'll make yourself available day by day, then God will start putting people in your path that He can touch your heart, and you can win to Jesus Christ, or you can give them a gospel tract and invite them to church, and they come to know the Lord. If you say, Lord, I'm at your disposal, tap me on the shoulder, speak to my heart, and God will put people in your path. Amen. We ought to be available. Number 3, a servant. Number 1 is willing. Number 2, a servant is available. Number 3, a servant is prepared. A servant is prepared. In 2 Samuel 18:22, the question was asked Ahimaaz, I think. If it's not Ahimaaz, it's somebody else. I think it was Ahimaaz. He said, I want to go. I want to run the errand. David is waiting for tidings from the battle. Especially is he concerned about his son Absalom. He gave special instructions, don't harm the boy. The one who was spearheading the rebellion against him. And a man is dispatched to send, to give the message, and he has the message. It's not announced publicly, but he has the message for the king. Absalom is dead, but this Ahimaaz, he said, I want to go. He said, why you got to go? You don't have any news. He goes, God, I can run fast. And he could run fast. And he said, let me go. He said, well, there's not much sense in it, but go ahead if you want to. He took off running. He passed the other guy. He got there first. David said, how'd the battle go? He said, battle's going well. He said, what about my boy? He said, I don't know. He said, wait over here. And then the man with the message came and shared with David what David wanted to hear. A servant is prepared. In any field of service, we must first prepare ourselves. Do you know if you work at a restaurant, you have to wash your hands? Or you're supposed to wash your hands? You work at a restaurant, you probably have to wear a uniform. You have to be trained. You have to have integrity. You have to know the needs at hand of the business that you're in. You have to be prepared to serve. I remember sitting up there at Gospel Light in Walkertown, and probably one of those bus conferences or something. And Brother Bobby Robertson said, how many of you have been in the bus ministry for 25 years? Stan, if you've been in the bus ministry 15 years or more. And he said, I've been 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years or more. And there was probably 15, 20, 25 people, 40-year mark. 40-year mark. I'd say a couple dozen folks. Some of you have seen that very thing. These are folks who said, you know what, I'm going to find me a place to serve. And I, by the grace of God, I'm going to stick with it. Amen. I went to Brother Bobby Robertson's funeral, and I sat down, and leaned over and introduced myself to the man. I said, hey, we got to talk a little bit. And I said, you been a member here long? He said, yeah, I've been a member here years. And I said, well, I'm Pastor John Shook. He said, I'm Lee Pope. I said, I know your name, sir. I said, I got a Sunday school teacher in my church by the name of Patsy. And her kids rode your bus. They're saved because of you. I said, there's another lady over here sits on this side of the auditorium, and she's saved. She got saved through your bus ministry. And 50 years, that man ran a bus. You know what we need? We need some folks who become experts. And by the way, we have them. I told my sweetie the other night after we had our faithfulness service. I says, honey, it's like it's starting to snowball. There are 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 year servants here. Man, that gets me excited. Amen. That's stability. Amen. To give yourself to a little four-year-old class, to give yourself to some third-grade boys, to give yourself to a teen girls or a teen boys, high school class, to go in week after week and prepare and read and learn and develop yourself. Let me say something. You work with third graders. You ought to devour the things that you can devour. You ought to learn from those who've worked with children. You ought to read the things. Who's doing our camp, this junior camp this summer? That's teen camp. Who's doing junior? Ed Dunlop. Thank you. Stay out of my preaching. You ought to read it. You ought to devour Ed Dunlop's books. You ought to learn children's workers. Listen, we were thinking about the other day, brother Bill Brown, brother Zach's grandfather, Bill Brown. We call him Bill Brown the Clown. Bill Brown was a boy. He was hit by a car, and it affected him. He was an adult man trying to finish high school, sitting in a class at Bob Jones Academy with teenagers just to finish high school. He used to come to me and he'd say, Pastor, he said, I tried so hard. He said, I studied my lesson and I get up to teach and I can't remember anything that I've studied. I don't know if I ought to be teaching Sunday school class. I said, Brother Bill, I don't care if you teach them anything. Just stand up there and talk to them from your heart. I want those boys influenced by you. Brother Bill Brown was a painter his whole life. That man, you could go soul in with that man. He was not a member of this church. It was another church. It was gospel preaching church, but not exactly the same. There's not exactly the same persuasion. Very close, but not the same. And he said to me, can I go soul winning with you? I want to learn how to win souls. I want to know how to be a soul winner. I said, yeah, I'm fine. Come on. Probably a year or more, he came and went soul winning with me. And he loved the bus ministry. At one time, the ministry he was in had a bus ministry, and then they closed down their bus ministry. And he felt like God led him over here. And he came over here as a bus captain. And Brother Bill Brown had a clown. Bill Brown the Clown. How many of you knew Bill Brown the Clown? Okay. Bigfoot the Clown. And he would do that. He'd do birthday parties, and he had big red nose and big rainbow afro wig thing. And he'd paint himself up and had big old shoes, and he'd walk around with his big shoes. And he built a shoe car. How many of you have ever seen his shoe car? Seen his shoe car? He built a shoe car, literally, longer than this, the length is a three-wheel vehicle, and it was a giant shoe. A giant shoe. And man, we had a big pop-up umbrella. He'd drive that thing into a neighborhood, and people come pouring out of the buildings. And he'd have a pocket full of balloons, and he'd pull them out. And that man up into his 70s could take those little balloons, I don't know what you kind of call those balloons, and he could... I promise you this, you can't blow up one. He'd stand there and blow up one after another after another. I know he can't blow one up. The one-year anniversary of Science Fair is this Friday. Science Fair last year, he wanted to show everybody he could blow up one of those balloons, and he passed out and gave us a real scare. He went to the hospital in an ambulance. No balloons this year. But that man could... He, and then... Here's a sword. Here's a dog. Here's a mouse. And kids just... Man, you talk... It's like picking fruit, you know, falling from the trees. Amen. Can I tell you something? Why would he do that? He loved the souls of men. He loved the souls of men. Now listen, I'm not correcting anything because honestly, I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great preacher Rodney Jordan is. That offends me. Why did you brag on my preaching? I hear it all the time, seriously. The workers come back and say, "Preacher, man, Brother Jordan, man, he was..." I'm like, "No." I'll tell you something. I rejoice. Listen, you folks that minister to children in these Sunday school departments and from those buses back there, honestly, you have an opportunity to bring in a harvest that even many pastors in a lifetime of ministry would not see. The souls that are being saved in nearly every week of the world. Numbers, several children are being saved under your teaching and under your preaching. And Brother Jordan, I thank you. I do. He's such a blessing to our ministry. You faithful workers, some of you have been there year after year after year. And I'm saying, listen, a servant is somebody that's prepared. A servant is not somebody that's reading their Sunday school lesson on the way to Sunday school. It's somebody who is prepared and has your gun loaded. I asked my wife, I said, "Is your gun loaded?" She packs and don't mess with her because, no. But I'm talking about her gospel. She loves, she studies, she prepares. Now, I've never known anybody prepare like that. She prepares. And most of us, you say, I don't know how I'm going to get it all out. May I say this? A servant goes in there prepared. Prepared. Number four, a servant's helpful. A servant's helpful. A servant's willing. A servant's available. A servant's prepared. A servant is helpful. A servant's helpful. Mark chapter 2, verse 4. Took four men, helped that man sick of the palsy. The Bible says he was born, B-O-R-N-E, carried of four. Amen. If you got a man on a sheet, you need four men, one on each corner, right? They took him up to Jesus and he got healed. Hey, listen, you say, "Well, I don't think I can teach." Just grab a corner. Amen. Grab a corner of a sheet somewhere. Amen. Grab a corner. Be a helpful. Be a helper. Do you know what a helping hand is? It's helpful. It's helpful. Amen. Paul did not seek greatness, but he became great by being helpful. I remember my dad sitting back here talking about Jack Wurtson led Ray Hart. Let me make sure I got this right. Led Ray Hart to Christ on an airplane. Is that right? Jack Wurtson, Word of Life Ministries up in Scroon Lake, New York, met Ray Hart. He was a professional singer, tremendous voice, and led him to Christ. And Dad was pastoring in New Hampshire at the time, and some churches got together, and they had a youth crusade. And Jack Wurtson said, "I want you all to meet the man that I got to lead to Christ." I introduced him, and Ray Hart sang for the first time in a public venue like that. Not long after that, Brother Hiles was preaching at a church, and somebody, the pastor was there, and Brother Hiles had some books, some of his books that he'd written. He brought with him to the meeting, and he said, "Pastor," he said, do you think somebody could look after my book table?" And a man standing nearby said, I'd be glad to do that. I'll stand at the book table. I'll put the books out for you. Stand and, you know, take care of the book table." He said, "Well, thank you, sir." And so Ray Hart got those books, set the book table up, took the money and so forth like that. And Dr. Hiles met Ray Hart. And he was called on to sing several times in that meeting. And that began a friendship between those two men. And Ray Hart was greatly used of God in fundamental circles, pastor schools, and other great meetings. But you know, he wasn't a big shot. "I'll look after a book table." Amen? Yeah. Helpful. Helpful. Can I tell you something? A word of encouragement is helpful. It's helpful. A helping hand is helpful. You know what? A lot of folks, well, I shouldn't say a lot of folks. Sometimes folks think, "I have a good idea. I was a big help." Here's my idea. The staff used to have ideas. They don't have ideas anymore. Because they found out if they had an idea, they might get called on to do it. Now, we've got a great staff, and they're helpful. Number five, a good servant, a willing servant, is cheerful. God loves the cheerful giver. Attitude matters. If you're miserable while you're serving, you'll spread your misery to other servants. If you gripe while you're in the nursery, go sit in the preaching. Because you need it. The nursery's not a gossip hall. Amen? It's not a gossip hall. If you're going to go, listen, don't hide out in the junior department. Don't hide out in the beginner department. Don't hide out in the nursery. Don't hide out in the hallway and fancy you're doing something for the Lord. You either get on a job and get it done or get in here and sit under the preaching. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, get somewhere and have a good attitude while you're there. Amen? Cheerful. Number six, committed. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Faithful man shall abound with blessing. Proverbs 28:20. We hope to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25:21. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I thank Christ he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, committed. Clint Cavanaugh went to be with the Lord. Beautiful service. It's online if you haven't seen it yet. He was scheduled to be with us in January for our couples retreat and he canceled all of his East Coast meetings. The last time that he spoke for us at a couples retreat, it took him about 3 days when he got back home before he could even get out of the bed. Should have been in the hospital. Clint Cavanaugh literally gave his life to teach and to preach, travel and to counsel. The East Coast trips were the hardest on him, just that much time in the air traveling back to the West Coast to Oregon. But he was committed. A servant is willing, available, prepared, helpful, cheerful, committed. A servant is humble. Jesus was found in fashion as a man and he humbled himself. 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility. And lastly, a servant is loyal. A servant is loyal. I don't know why we're scared to death of that word and that concept. We've come to a place in our nation where mobs of little babies, little children, little 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old children think they can storm the president's office of a university or storm some. They can pitch a fit and scream and holler. And they say they're standing up for something. No, they're a bunch of little spoiled brats is what they are. We got to a place in our country where we're not just rebelling against an authority, we're rebelling against the concept of authority. Romans chapter 13 says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. You will be under authority. And if you cannot be under authority, then society will take you and you will be forced. You will lose your freedom. That's what prison is. A man cannot govern himself. He cannot submit to authority. And so he has to be forced behind bars. Listen, authority, all authority flows from God. Authority has a responsibility, and that's to honor the authority vested in him by God Almighty. Dad, it's not yours to run your home as you see fit. It's yours to run your home as God tells you to run it in this book right here. It's not a police officer's job to run the town the way he thinks ought to be run. It's his job to enforce the laws of the land that God has given us. And every aspect of authority, all of it flows from God, and the concept of authority is being broken down, and somebody needs to once again say, a servant is someone who is loyal. I'm not talking about someone who follows a leader off into something unethical or follows a leader off into false doctrine. But I'm talking about the concept where Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now listen, if you're serving in whatever aspect of God's work you're serving in, you ought to get behind your leader and you ought to support them. And if you don't understand the decision that they make, you ought to just say, thank God I don't have to make those kinds of decisions. Let me just get behind my leader. Kids, get behind your mom and dad. Teachers, get behind your principal. Whatever aspect of authority, if your boss is not leading you off to do something sinful, you say, well, that's a stupid thing he's doing. Don't you be a part of the gossip table at your lunch. You be the one that supports authority. Show the world what a Christian is and learn how to get behind somebody and follow them. Amen. You say, well, guy above me, he don't even deserve the job. You want his job? Don't destroy him. Push him up and make him look so successful that they promote him, and then you can have his job. Amen. God said about Abraham, he visited him. And he's leaving, and he looks towards Sodom in Genesis 18. And the Lord said, he said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I wonder if I should tell Abraham about that. And then in verse 18, Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations there shall be blessed in him. Here's verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. He said, you know what? I know Abraham. I know what he'll do. I know. I can trust Abraham. That's what God said about Job when the devil came. He said, the only reason he serves you is because you're so good to him. He said, all right, you can touch him. Hast thou considered my servant Job? I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'd like to challenge you. Whatever area of ministry you're in. Hello? That's how I came through the speakers. What are you guys doing up there in the sound room? Is it time to quit? I just added 5 minutes to my sermon. I'd like to challenge you. Won't you make that the motto for your ministry? I will very gladly spend and be spent for me, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'll be loved. Someone came to me one time and said, Pastor, I'm worn out. I need a day off. I said, really? Yes. I babysat for somebody. I babysat for 24 hours. I had those kids for 24 hours. And I thought to myself, I hope you don't ever get married and have kids. You need a day off because you were 24 hours with kids? How about these mamas? You know what? I want a servant's heart. Jesus, our example. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to serve.